Welcome to the Florida Madcaps, your ultimate guide to experiencing fantastic and unique destinations across our magnificent state. Join us while we lead you on a journey of exploration, recreation, and conservation. The popularity of Florida's natural wonders is on the rise, and our mission is to be your go-to source for conscientious recreation. We encourage you to get out and explore these breathtaking sites, and to leave them even better than you found them, through individual actions and group advocacy. Join the Florida Madcaps as we discover the beauty of our incredible state together.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Florida Madcaps podcast. It's me, Ryan, aka the Florida Excursionist, and I'm here with the Florida famous, the totally awesome Sunshine State Seekers.
Hello.
Howdy.
Yeah, Chelsea just got back from the very generous Florida Madcaps podcast maternity leave policy.
Very generous.
Is do whatever I want and tell you when I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. It. I was very surprised. I was expecting her to take another month. Here we are. I'm very happy to be recreating and hanging out again. So today we did some hiking around a couple areas, some of historic value, and that's going to be the subject of our podcast. We're going to be talking about a little bit about Gold Head, but mostly about Magnolia Lake State Park. Now, if you're looking at your state park's passport or any state park map or Googling it, you may not find it as an active state park because it is a segregation era state park that was shuttered, about 50 years ago. They were a series of, I think, five of them that were very short-lived. And if it wasn't for the efforts of a local historian, this one would have probably faded away into obscurity. So, and that is our special guest today. So we have a local historian, an outdoorsman, and a kindred spirit among this podcast, Mr. Robert Dew.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed hiking with you guys today.
Yeah. How many miles did we do? And anybody keep track?
I don't know.
I think we did maybe five or six after you added it all up.
I would say at least five, yeah.
I have this good skill of just zoning it all out until I start hiking and then we finish and I'm like, oh, how'd I get here? But it was wonderful. Wonderful hike.
I'd like that during type 3 fun, but it never happens. Let's get back to it. So we're going to be focusing on particularly Magnolia Lake State Park. Robert, this was one of five state parks around Florida. Can you talk a little bit about just kind of the short history of the segregated state parks in Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in the 50s, the state decided there was a need for not only segregated facilities for the African American community, but they actually decided they were going to build separate state parks. And so Magnolia Lake State Park is one of five that popped up in and around Florida in the 50s. And it was here in Clay County. It was actually a paired state park, or going to be a state paired state park with Goldhead Branch, which was just about a mile across the way from Magnolia. But so the park was built, started being built in the 50s, was opened up in 57. Beautiful park. It was on the shores of Magnolia Lake, 191 acres. It was a boat ramp, a dock, pavilions, a swimming area, everything that a state park has, Magnolia Lake State Park had. So it was a wonderful park, but it was didn't come without controversy, as all these other parks did. Things went fine for a while, but then in the 60s, with lawsuits and protests and pressure from the federal government, eventually Magnolia Lake State Park would close along with these other parks. It did stay open until, I believe it closed in 77, finally, and was handed back over to Camp Blanding, which is the military reservation where Magnolia Lake State Park exists. So, yeah, that's a little bit of the history of the park. But, yeah, that's where we hiked today. We went through the remnants of the park. There are still some remnants there. You can hike through the park and see the bathhouse, and the picnic pavilion was actually restored, so it's in nice shape. And there's some evidence of the parking lot, the boat ramp, and some docks and whatnot there.
It's funny enough, we hiked through today. There was a little military, I don't know if it's exercise. I'm a Navy veteran, so I don't know the Army stuff. And they look like they're doing some cool stuff driving around on vehicles. And they were in the pavilion we were going to hang out at, so that obviously was out. But was that the original pavilion?
So that was the original pavilion. It was restored by Camp Blanding a couple of years ago. They put a new roof on it and replaced some of the rotten wood. So it's in great shape. There's a picnic table there for hikers to enjoy. Like you mentioned today, we happened to come into the park on a weekend when the military was using it. They've been very gracious to allow the Florida Trail not to only go through the base, but to go through the park where they do train from time to time. So everybody seems to get along pretty good. And yeah, I've never had any conflicts. They will close the Florida Trail on very rare occasions when they're doing maybe more intense training. Or
yeah.
Again, that's a very rare occasion. I rarely see that closed sign up on the Florida Trail that goes through there.
I haven't hiked it a ton, maybe once or twice a year for the last few years, and I haven't seen it closed yet. It was pretty interesting. I felt like that we were interfering a little bit with the gentlemen that were doing their little military thing.
I felt less like we were interfering. I felt when I saw that some of them had, I don't know if you noticed this, but there were a few children amongst the group.
Yeah, there were families.
Yeah.
Were they armed?
No.
Okay.
Well, they had arms, but I mean, as far as I could tell, but yeah. But there were a few children amongst the group, and when a couple of them did look our way, they were smiling, so I felt
okay.
a little less like I was stepping in on something, some top secret like military mission or something, but they were dressed to the nines.
There was a hammock at the end of the pavilion, too.
Yeah,
I mean, I almost didn't see it because it was camouflage. But.
I don't know. I don't know how serious that stuff is, you know, if it was, if it was very serious, but if there were children there, well...
But there's a big sign.
Highly skilled children.
Yeah, that says closed or open. So,
yeah.
And you're saying you really rarely have ever seen it say closed.
Correct. Yeah, it's probably open 360 days a year.
And we volunteer with Florida Trail. Not that we are notified about every single section, but that's not one I have heard hikers really bring up. As far as like Eglin Air Force Base has closures quite often.
Eglin, you have to check it every day and find out if the quadrant you're going to be in is going to be open.
Yeah, I think they close it more for like controlled burns and things of that nature versus military maneuvers.
Which you get that throughout the entire state, no matter what section of trail, except for like roadwalks. They don't really close those for burns.
So I do find it interesting. You have this historical connection between the Magnolia Lake State Park that used to be there. And Goldhead, which is right there, because now we have the Florida Trail, the Florida National Scenic Trail, that people would hike from the Everglades to Fort Pickens, come through, if you're heading NOBO, like most people do, northbound, you're going to come through Goldhead and then go into and through this Magnolia State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really cool sign markers there that Chelsea and I noticed.
Yeah, and you helped put those there.
Back in 2019, we actually applied for and we got a Florida State Historic Marker for the park, which sits out on the main highway just outside of the park. And then it was decided, Janie with the Florida Trail Association and I talked about putting up a similar sign, not as grandiose, but at the entrance to the park so that when you're hiking in, whether you're going north or south, as you're coming into the park, there's a sign that notifies the hiker of you know, the history of the park, what the park is. Because until that time, you might walk right through there and just see some old buildings and not think anything of it. So now, as you're coming into the park from either direction, you'll come across an information sign that talks about the park.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to discuss, because if you're hiking through this section, it's on the Florida Trail. As Robert said, we probably can't just be wandering around the base. You pretty much stick to the trail, and it's absolutely beautiful because it goes through some oak hammocks, a little bit of scrub habitat. By Magnolia Lake, you can see Lowry Lake and then Lost Pond, which I think is really beautiful as well. So it's a lot of shaded, some open hiking. It's a few miles through Camp Blanding. But like Robert said, you just go through there. And I was aware of it because, my parents were rangers, so they told me a little bit about the history. But it was about to be lost in obscurity. Robert, you, a little less than 10 years ago, you got interested in it, and you wanted to help preserve
it.
Yeah, so probably going back 20 years ago, I saw the map depicted on an old map. It said Magnolia Lake State Park. And I was curious about it, and I had gone out there at one point, and I didn't think much more about it than that. That, oh, there used to be a park here, I guess. So it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe 10 years later than that, that I saw the park depicted on a map again, and I said, well, you know what? I'd like to know more about this park. What's the story? So I went to Google, like everybody does, and I typed in Magnolia Lake State Park, and I got nothing back. And I thought, well, that's odd. How do you, I mean, in today's world, you search something on a search engine, you're going to get something. But I didn't get anything. So I went to the county archives and asked, hey, what do you have on Magnolia Lake State Park? And I got the deer in the headlights look, and I explained to the archivist what I was looking for. And she said, we don't have anything on it. I don't know anything about it. So after that, I went to the Camp Blanding Museum and talked to the folks there about it. And they didn't know anything about it. In fact, they didn't believe me that there was any such place on their property.
No, and kidding.
I had to show them on a map that there was a state park. Anyway, it finally took, after digging and talking to folks, I reached out to the state in Tallahassee, asked about the park. They provided with me very, very little information. They just didn't have anything, and they couldn't really help me much other than acknowledge that there was a park there. That was about all they could do. So I finally did a public records request to Tallahassee and asked for all records associated with the park. And it was at that point that I finally got and made some headway. And I was able to get all these records, biennial reports and financial reports and, you know, all the things that I expected to see. So finally, I got the documentation that I was looking for about the park. And it was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating to learn about the park and its history, and then about the other parks as well. So that's kind of how it came about. And then it was a couple of years later that I thought we needed to recognize this park. And I was the chairman of the Historic Preservation Board at the time. So we decided it would be fitting to apply for a historic marker, and the state approved it, and we put the verbiage together, and we got the marker. And in 2019, we did a marker dedication, and the marker sits right out on State Road 21, just about a mile south of Goldhead.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, and I'm really grateful, because that is some important Florida history that would have definitely faded, and who knows when it would probably be recognized, if ever. You actually came into contact with, I know you mentioned one person, or maybe more than one, that actually recreated there and had some stories to tell.
That's right, yeah. One of the local historians in Middleburg, she grew up going to that park as a child, and she has fond memories of the park, and just thought it was a wonderful place. They used to go there on Sunday and have picnics and boat and swim and fish. We actually invited her to come to the dedication when we did the unveiling of the marker in 2019. And she was thrilled to come, and she talked, and it was wonderful hearing the stories about get-togethers. And she was tickled to be there and see that, because she had not been on those grounds since she was a child. So it was special to her and her family to come back to that place. And Camp Blanding was grateful or very gracious to invite them back if they wanted to come back as a, you know, maybe a family, or do a reunion or a picnic there. They were willing to accommodate them. So it really is neat how it all came together. And the fact that the Florida Trail just happens to go right through the middle of this is great, because, yeah, if you're hiking on the Florida Trail, you get this little piece of history. It's just a neat place, real special place.
So one interesting thing that I was very grateful to have Robert with us is there's a lot of buildings, different structures out there that all look old. And I don't know which was which. And Robert really clarified some of that. Like the dock, there was a dock out there that was part of the original dock that has been rehabilitated, and the pavilion. The bathhouse, which has a CCC-like limestone work on the front of it, that has fallen into disrepair. But also, I didn't even know this, but there was the old, like a boat access dock. That is, the original is still there. It's not safe to walk on. It's behind some bushes.
Unless you really do, it was there, I would think, probably just walk right past it. And then it was really neat to have you there to kind of point out, oh, look at this old structure under this growth over here, or whatever. You wouldn't have completely missed it.
And if you walk into the old bathhouse, it's really kind of creepy. I really expect to see Jason Voorhees, like, you know, step out from behind one of the walls. It's I don't know. I'm always worried about stepping on something. And
you also clarified some other structures that I know when Chris and I had hiked through, and it sounds like we hiked through shortly after you got all the signage put up, maybe like within months or weeks or something, around the same time frame, that we had seen all these old brown structures and thought they were a part of it. But then you clarified that that was like a mosquito research.
That's right. Kind of neat. So, yeah, that area after Magnolia closed in the 70s, Camp Blanding has used that area, and the Special Forces have used that area as a training area. And it's been used for a myriad of different things by the military. So that speaks to some of the structures that are out there. There were those mosquito control buildings. I guess they did some experimentation with mosquitoes, and so those buildings are still there. And there's some foundations out there that are not from, that were not there with the park, that was something in the 70s maybe that the military used and have since, you know, been taken down or torn down. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, there still is. You know, if you look around, I mean, the bathhouse is the biggest thing that jumps out at you. You just can't miss that. But if you look around in the weeds, especially in the wintertime as the vegetation grows back, you can see some foundations, some grills. You can see like the parking area, the dock that you mentioned, the boat ramp. So there's still a lot of evidence of the park there. I would love to see, I know they restored the pavilion, as I mentioned. They have put up and improved the dock. I don't know if it's beyond repair, but it would be really neat if they could restore that bathhouse. I don't think it's too far gone, but it's certainly getting there if something's not done soon. But that mm-hmm. would be kind of neat if they could restore that. That'd be a
I think so too. That's one of my like happy places, like in Florida, because that lake is absolutely beautiful. It's undeveloped,
crystal clear.
Yes,
when we were at that Alligator Creek that the Florida Trail goes
from
over,
it, correct?
We spent we spent a few minutes there just hanging out on that little bridge that the FDA built and watching these green grasses flowing, and it was very tranquil.
You had the oaks shading everything, but the sunlight was just kind of beaming through right there on that crystal clear creek.
And for a Florida lake to be that clarity of water is really typically sort of rare.
Yeah, so if you're through hiking that area,
good
get
water
your
source.
Water there. Yeah. Because there's a lot of questionable places before and after.
And I find it interesting, just wanted to note that I believe one of the stated goals of the Florida National Scenic Trail as part of the scenic part of it is going through notable historic areas. And this is kind of a retroactive. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize until you came along and discovered these things. The Florida Trail was already going through there.
That's right.
And, wow, this has all this history.
Right.
After talking with Robert a few months ago, he mentioned these other state parks, and two of them, which was Frank Butler and then Beasley. Butler is, I think, now Butler Beach around St. Augustine. I imagine that was the alternative, the segregated alternative to maybe Anastasia. The Beasley State Park is in the Panhandle. Now, they've been transferred over to the county, and there's signage there that talks about the historic origins, you know, the segregated past and the importance of those parks. But Talbot, Lake Griffin, Jim Woodruff, which I think maybe Three Rivers State Park now, because that's the Jim Woodruff, mm-hmm. Woodruff Dam is in that area, still under the control of the Department of Environmental Protection. There's not much information on it. Now, I know from just talking to, you know, some of the rangers and, you know, family that I have, that Little Talbot, there's a park drive that goes from the north end to the south end, but when it was segregated, that didn't exist. There was a separate entrance on the south end for African Americans, and then the north was whites only. That park changed after it became desegregated. So I wonder, like Lake Griffin or Jim Woodruff, what are the histories of those? And I think that would be great if the Department of Environmental Protection would document that.
And Florida Caverns was listed there too as having a little area.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quite a few that.
Interesting. I didn't pick up
on
that.
Fort Pickens State Park is listed there.
Yeah, back when it was a state park.
Oh, yeah, it's since turned over.
Mm-hmm. I would really like to dig into the history more of all these state parks and figure out which ones. And like you said, they change agencies, managers. And I know there's one along the Withlacoochee River that used to be a state park and is not anymore. Mm-hmm. And then what's the one, the three... Prairie Lakes?
Prairie Lakes, yes.
But we also, since we hiked the Florida Trail in Magnolia Lake State Park, we also went over to
Goldhead. Hiked a brand spanking new section of trail.
So for those of you who do follow the goings on with the Florida Trail, you will know that there is a initiative right now, actually since it's been in inception, but especially right now, they are focusing on closing the gaps or eliminating roadwalks. And this was how many miles of roadwalk were eliminated with this?
I figured just around two. Just around right. 2 miles of roadwalk.
And then 3 miles of trail added. So
it was 3.6 miles total that I walked that diverted from the original trail that was there. Mm-hmm. But we hiked about a mile and a half of it before you guys turned around.
Yep.
And so it goes to the edge of, and we had no idea. It's just been blazed. Somebody who works at the Florida Trail told us a couple weeks ago that he took his kids out there.
Yeah, and then we were with our guest, he has been in correspondence with some of the maintainers in the area. They were actually out there maintaining it today, shortly before we got out there to hike it. So as fresh as you can get.
So you get to the edge of the park, and right when we turn around, we crossed, I think it was Hoosier Road,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes into a new preserve, I think, that became a preserve, I believe, in 2019, from mm-hmm. what I can find on that,
wow.
the FNAI, which is a cool resource, the Florida Natural Area Inventory map. You can type that into search engines to find out about it. But when I was trying to figure out where the trail could possibly go to reroute around this two-mile roadwalk, I figured it must incorporate that, and then I went ahead for another 2 miles, I guess, until you get out to...
Well, you would know better than I, because I turn around.
What is it?
I think you said right at 2 miles. That's what...
What's that road? Christian Camp?
Christian Camp, yeah. I used to walk Christian Camp. Now it just crosses it, and you're back in the woods, so...
So, yeah, what it basically did is, before, it would go past the bathhouse on Lake Johnson in Goldhead, and then just cut through the Sandhill community... And it would go straight out to Christian Camp Road, right by the maintenance area of the park. So not very scenic, but with it being rerouted, we went all along Lake Johnson. The different aspects of it, Lake Johnson has gone down in the level over the last few years. So you get a variation of shorelines, but we did the old boat ramp area, mm-hmm. Little Lake Johnson. And you got some spectacular views because the sun was going down. It wasn't sunsetting yet. We still had a little time to go, but... And then we ascended a little bit of an incline there into the Sandhill community. And it was a little bit of soft sand, but some sweeping views, just beautiful.
And then this time of year is mine and Chris's favorite time usually to hike. As you stated before, we are plant nerds. And
late
summer, early fall blooming season is beautiful. So we had all the liatris and goldenrod all showing their colors. And some zebra. I got a nice video of some zebra longwing.
A Florida paintbrush.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The purples and yellows.
Yeah.
You saw a zebra long ring,
mm-hmm.
huh? Wow. Man, such rare sighting. Yeah.
And the tracing around the edge of those lakes like that really, really improved the scenery.
Yes, it did. It made the trail a little bit longer. I think that's more of the importance of the journey, not the mileage. But I'm not a section hiker or a through hiker, so I'm only speculating. I mean, maybe some folks would really like to finish it fast and just hike along 75
all the way to the end. I think the majority of hikers are happy to have it.
Yeah, they
the
want
road.
They want the whatever the mileage is, as long as it's not on the road, for the most part, that's what they're happy with. There are some roadwalks throughout the Florida Trail that are a little terrifying, and then others that are quite lovely. There's like people talk about the Deseret roadwalk being horrible, but as far as roadwalks go, that's like a nice country road with like pasture land on either side and not too much super high
it's no speed
traffic.
60.
Yeah, and then there's Highway 60, which is not nearly as long as Deseret, but terrifying. And you might die. So, you know, as far as roadwalks go, it just depends on the roadwalk.
So Christian Camp Road didn't...
It wasn't that bad.
No.
But, you know.
Nobody's talking about how terrifying. Well, you mentioned, and I don't know if this is the venue to bring it up, like the Clay County had a lot of dog incursions, I guess, on the trail.
It was at least somewhat notorious for a short period of time. There's some... of these country roads that people don't keep their dogs in a fashion that they should, and they run out and chase people down the road. And some of them are really aggressive, and there have been a couple of incidents. And I know of one in Clay County a couple of years ago where, yeah, where someone got bit on their calf.
There was a few years ago where it was we personally know one person who got bit very badly, and then we heard tales of other people who had a similar or same situation, either whether they got bit or not, I'm not sure, but with aggressive dogs. And then the dogs getting pepper sprayed, and then the owners of the dogs getting mad that someone pepper sprayed their dog, and then having altercations with people and dogs. It was just a notorious section where hikers weren't really feeling, they were pretty much trying to get through it as fast as they could.
Oh, I see. That doesn't make for a good hike.
No.
No, these little bits of road walk, but...
Anytime you have to deploy the pepper spray in your hike.
Yeah. So one of the things, actually, I remember when people ask for advice on the Florida Trail, opposed to other trails, they ask if you need trekking poles down here because you're not doing major elevation. And the two reasons why they say you need trekking poles down here, one, to poke your way through the swamp to see if there's anything underwater when you're going through, and the second, to protect yourself from dogs. So
yeah, there's one in the book, I guess, that the mayor talked about. Now, first of all, I think he was a target for some of these dogs.
The mayor's a trail name, by the way.
He had a dog on his shoulders. Okay. He hiked the trail with his dog. So he had a little dog on his shoulders, on his backpack, at the same time holding his trekking poles out and an X, I guess, to
ward off the other dogs.
To hold them back as they were.
And his dog was blind, which made it probably another level of difficulty and stress for him.
What a nightmare scenario. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad I haven't encountered that yet, but me, I tend to go away from people and houses and whatnot when I hike. But we are getting close to the conclusion of this episode, so we are very grateful to Robert Dews for doing the research, taking the initiative, and getting this important part of Florida history
documented.
Yes,
and preserved
and memorialized. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about this new section of Florida Trail, and I was happy to hike the aspect of it inside Goldhead. I turned around because we had to come back and record the podcast. And
yeah, we let Chris go on the way, and then I got back in my car and went and picked him up towards the end.
Interestingly, I still don't know the manager of this property that it goes through, this preserve, but there's no signage. I expected there to be at least signage when I came out on the other end. So I don't really know who owns it. I think it's called Lake Something Preserve is what I can find on that.
I just call it
Isn't that something?
I just call it Ryan Worthington Preserve.
Yeah.
Well, also, which may be a future podcast, if Robert Dews decides to join us again, he is also a retired Clay County Sheriff's Deputy who was involved in investigating environmental crimes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, he told me a couple pretty interesting stories, but that would be another episode. We are out of time for today.
I feel like he should write like a historical fiction novel about his environmental crimes research.
Like Detective Noir style.
We learned some things today just hiking a little bit about some of the road material, which I wouldn't have known, you know?
Yeah.
It was very interesting. So thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. And as always, everyone, enjoy Florida responsibly.
Thank you for listening to the Florida Madcaps. We hope today's episode was enjoyable. Your input is important to us. If there is a topic that you would like to know more about, please let us know. The Florida Madcaps is presented in partnership with the Florida Springs Council, the only nonprofit advocacy organization focused solely on protecting our Florida Springs. Get a free spring sticker and join the Florida Springs Council at floridaspringscouncil.org/madcaps. As a token of our appreciation, we are giving away a free Madcap sticker to anyone who leaves us a review. All you have to do is send us your contact information to the email provided in our show notes. We will take care of the rest. Thank you for being a part of the Florida Madcaps community.